Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for Kingdom of the Giants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of December, 2023. My name's Davey McGimsey. Tonight on the show, we've got Marty. Marty, welcome along again.
Thanks for having me, boys. Nice to stay
on. And as always, says down blower. He's not going to say anything. Says, welcome back to A View from the Bridge, your weekly slot. Obviously, listen, Paddy's not well. And hosting has fallen to me. So apologies in advance for the next hour or so of your life. Listen, we are live. I'm going to read this. Paddy sent me stuff. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and loads more of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube and you enjoy the show, why not hit like and subscribe? I think there's a wee thumb logo. And if you like, leave us a review. Always good ones are better than bad ones, but okay, whatever you like. And on this week's show, the Giants schedule is already beginning to fill up, but with a four-point weekend over the Manchester Storm and a tightly balanced Challenge Cup quarterfinal against the Blaze to complete, we have a few elements to discuss. Bobby McIntyre recently joined Belfast Giant, is on the scoreboard this weekend, and he is here to join us for a chat. We're going to be joined by our old mate Giants fan, staunch John Smith, will be along in a little bit to discuss the Manchester games. And there may be a little bit more as we go along. But let's jump straight into last Wednesday now. We travelled back after we were there on Saturday and went straight back on the Wednesday night into Coventry. And joining us is a man who actually took part in the game. Danny Crystal, welcome to The View from the Bridge.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Danny, let's just chat straight about last Wednesday night to start with. It was a game, and a cliche, three periods. Coventry probably had the best of the first period. Giants came back into it. Big save from Cozen towards the end of the second. Bit of momentum. And then the Giants go on in the third period. Probably took, and overall, a 60 minutes to probably a one each. Quite a tight game both teams will be happy enough with.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at the game and the month of December, with how many games everyone throughout the league's playing, I think it was kind of like a little bit of a chess match. Like you said, I thought we played well in the first and had that lead. And I wouldn't say we sat back on it, but, I think both teams were a little fatigued from the weekend. So many games this month, most teams are playing 12 to 15 games. So that was a pretty good game for us. I thought they played well. It was kind of just one of those midweek, I wouldn't say boring, but, a defensive game. And, I think we were happy just to get the 1-1 draw going into next week. And, they made a good push back in the third to get that game tied up. So
Blaze have been heating up off late in a nice little run of form since the last time with Danny on the show. You were going through a little bit of inconsistency, just trying to find your feet as a team, and sort of over the last four, five, 6 weeks, you just started to kick on a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think if just look at the dynamic of our team, we are very, very young. So I think we knew going into the season, we're going to, I wouldn't say struggle right away, but, you know, there's going to be some growing pains and whatnot. But I think just, you know, showed some character and stuck with it, believed in what we were doing, and finally starting to see some results. Some guys are playing a lot better, and I think guys are just getting used to each other and playing more of the team system, which is kind of, you know, benefiting everyone.
Danny, first of all, I dislike you already because you're wearing an Arsenal hat and I'm a Spurs fan, but we'll get over the top of that part and try and get down to the ice hockey side of things. This is your, you know, you spent a bit of time in Sheffield last year, and you spent a bit of time around Europe, but what's your thoughts on the British game?
Yeah, it's, you know, coming, you know, I can't remember when I got here last year. I think it was right around Thanksgiving. But the league is a lot better than I expected. And I think even from last season to this season, just looking, you know, kind of where the stats are for the teams, I think it's a lot closer, from 1 to 10 as it was last year. You know, I think last year, a couple of those Scottish teams struggled a little bit and whatnot, but I think, you know, the league this year, you can't really take a night off right now. You know, even like, you know, some of those teams that are at the bottom a couple of weeks ago, you know, we were sitting at 10th and then, you know, we went and almost in three games jumped from 10th to fourth. So it's important to come to play every night. And, you know, like there's, you know, the regular season is so important here because there's not the big playoff picture and whatnot. Obviously we have the end of the year team, the tournament for the playoffs, but no, I've really enjoyed my time here. And I think the hockey's been really fun.
When you look around, obviously you've talked about how compact the league is this year. I know the Steelers have got on a really good run of form and lead the league by, I think it's 4 or 5 points. I haven't actually looked at it. I don't really look at it until after Christmas. But where you're situated right now, you've already touched on, you know, a couple of weeks ago you were sitting in 10th place. What do you attribute the difference between the form, which has picked up over that you have 7 wins in a row apart from the draw against Belfast last week in the Challenge Cup?
Yeah. You know, this is my 11th year pro, so I always kind of tell guys, you know, when things are going bad, it's never as bad as it seems. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're getting the puck luck and everything seems to be going in and maybe you're not playing, you know, the best hockey, but you're still getting those wins. And that's going to happen throughout a season. But, you know, I think if you look at back at the start of the year, I don't know how many one goal losses we had, or we gave up leads in third periods and found ways to lose games. And I think if you just look in the past 6 weeks, we've really found ways to win games. And, you know, that's just hockey. Sometimes it's puck luck. I think our team's obviously playing a lot better now. We made a couple of changes systematically, and I think it's benefited a lot of us defensively. We've gotten some great goaltending lately too. And, like you said, it's a competitive league, and you know, we had, you know, a couple injuries. I know you guys have been really, you know, battling injuries all year, so you can never really count a team out. You know, I know you guys are getting healthy. You guys had 2 big wins this weekend, so I think it should be a really, really good game tomorrow.
Donny, what are you expecting? As you say, it's now just a, you know, it's a 60-minute, maybe 65-minute game, whatever, for, you know, winner takes all the marbles. It's a big prize to win tomorrow night.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's obviously never an easy game going into Belfast, for sure. I think it's probably the best environment, if not Sheffield, but it's always up there. It's always crowds rocking. So I think just a big key for us tomorrow, I think we'll be kind of weathering, you know, that, you know, first 10 minutes of the game. They're going to come out jumping, obviously just having 2 wins, playing at home in front of their fans. So I think just, you know, playing smart the first 10 minutes, playing simple, you know, easing into the game, and then kind of just going from there, because both teams are playing well right now. So, you know, you just, you know, want to start off on the right foot and be ready to play.
And for yourself, the month of December, I don't mean yourself, I mean as a hockey player in the UK, the month of December, as you referenced to start, incredibly busy, a lot of travel, a lot of games, little time for rest. So it's really just whenever when the final horn goes, it's getting refueled and getting as much rest as you can for the next shift.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you know, every team's been playing, it almost seems like every second night right now. So like I said, you know, you guys have had some injuries, you know, the past, I don't know what it's been, the past 2 weeks. We lost a couple guys, a couple of our young British guys that went to the World Juniors. So, you know, even though those guys don't play a ton of minutes, they're character guys in our locker room. And, you know, they'll hop in and give some good shifts. But even in practice, you know, missing those guys hurt. So it's good we got those guys back. And, yeah, it's a tough grind. December, you know, everyone's looking forward to the holidays and Christmas and stuff, but this is a big time, I think, where teams throughout the league can, you know, really make a push. And, you know, if you get hot at the right time, you know, like I said, you know, you play well in December, it's 13, 14 games.
And just in closing, like a little bit of a word for your coach there. This is your first season you're playing under Danny Stewart. Obviously, he's been around the UK for a long, long time as a player and a coach. Something that he spoke about at the start of the season, and you've referenced again yourself, doing those little things right, believing in the processes that he set in place there and just following through with the plan.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, he's a heart and soul guy, and I think he really cares about his players. And, you know, when we were going through that losing stretch, I didn't think that we were that far off. Like, I think we've obviously been playing better hockey now, and we've been getting the bounces. So it's tough when you see your players and, you know, for us, you know, seeing him every day at the rink and, you know, he's doing video, he's trying to make adjustments and trying to find the right connections with lines and whatnot. And yeah, like I said, you know, you just got to keep your head down, keep working hard and believing. And, you know, it's still a job, but it's, you're going to the rink and you're playing hockey every day. So, yeah, I think we're lucky. And just go to the rink, put a smile on your face, and try to get better.
Well, listen, Danny, we really appreciate your time tonight. We know you've probably got an early alarm call tomorrow. As is tradition on this podcast, we can't really wish you well for tomorrow night, but we can wish you safe travels, and we'll probably catch up with you at the rink tomorrow. So all the best, mate. Thanks a lot.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Danny.
Cheers. And again, thanks to Danny Christo for joining us in a view from the bridge. It's such short notice tonight, especially with an early call tomorrow for that flight. I flew into Belfast there tonight and it was a sideways one. So I hope his is just as rough or even better if they're on the boat. But I'm sure they're probably flying in the morning. But here, listen, let's move on ever so quickly to the Manchester Storm games at the weekend. We'll look at the first game. Belfast Giants 2, Manchester Storm 1. Tyler Biscoran in nets with 25 saves. Evan Vinegar in nets with 25 saves as well. But two shots against ref Steve Brown and Graham Rogers. Listen, it was a tough weekend. It was a tight affair. Hopefully Paddy will play the video in the background here. But a tight affair, Simon, across the weekend.
It really was, mate. I mean, look, it's not the secret. We're not playing our best right now. I think we'll play better the weekend. I actually thought about that okay. I do think there's still more to come. But, you know, there's so many little things that when guys are out of the lineup and coming back, and obviously Jeff Baum's come in over the last couple of weeks, Greg Prince has come back, Ben Lake was suspended for the first game, he came back in the second game. There's so many changes, and it doesn't help, but these guys are playing long enough that hopefully it doesn't affect their mentality side of things, and they're just a matter of dusting themselves down and getting ready to go. I mean, it was a tough game. The Storm played really well, and you just mentioned his name there a few minutes ago, Evan Vinegar. The kid was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely outstanding Friday night. I thought he played really well Saturday night. That, I don't know if we were going to see the save that he made on the Saturday evening.
Well, yeah.
We'll probably come back to that in a minute, but I thought we certainly did enough to win. Was it comfortable? No. Was it easy? Absolutely not. It's one of the ones that you just will have to keep battling away. And when you look at the history books in a couple of years' time, it's not going to say, oh, we played absolutely fantastic in a tight game. It's going to show you that you won your 2 points. And that's right now where we are. That's absolutely vital. It knocked us, obviously, winning the Friday game. And when you're playing against a Storm, I think we overtook them on the Friday night. and then obviously extended the difference between them on the Saturday. But again, I didn't think we played fantastic. I thought we did. I thought we deserved the win. Besko getting back to where we know Besko can get back to. You know, I think he'll tell you that he wasn't playing his best. And I know, again, not a lot of people know that he was sick for a couple of days as well. And the week before, but still turned up, still played. Obviously, Jackson still, he's coming back from injury. Dicko is still out. And you don't see all these little things behind the scenes, and we don't, you know, don't go on about them at all. But again, we did what we had to do. We came for the 2 points, and won the 2 points. And that there at my, I know you said it didn't go in, Davey, and the camera angle there doesn't do, you know, that does us a favor. I was sitting obviously in a really good position watching that. Dicko was with me that night. Ben Lake was sitting right in front of us. Josh Roach was sitting there. Robert was right to the right-hand side. And Brooksy was sitting to my left-hand side. And we all thought it was in. So we touched on the luck not going our way over the last couple of weeks. And over November, we just didn't get any bounces. That was a bounce that we all thought that went our way. And you know what? It's long overdue.
Marty, Simon obviously talks about Evan Vinegar there, and he very briefly touched on our number 34 coming really back in the form of the weekend.
I thought both netminders were brilliant over the duration of the two games. I definitely thought we were on the back foot right up until Bobby McIntyre got his first goal. I think Manchester were playing smart. Was it Martini or Martinell? What was his name for Manchester?
Martin.
He was always lurking around. He got an early breakaway, only for Besko coming up big. You know, we could have been 1-0 down quite early on. But Sis already touched, you know, we grinded out the result, and you know, when we look back, it won't be we didn't win pretty in a 2-1 game. You know, it goes down as a win, and in these last five games we've kind of knew how to battle out three, four wins. Obviously, the Nottingham games and now the two that we've just had against Manchester. But I think, obviously, third period then, it was good to see Johnny Curran making a smart play. I think Johnny Curran has a lot more to offer to the Belfast Giants. We've seen what he did with the Coventry Blaze last year. And it was just nice for that smart play for him to feed Charlie Curdy to obviously get the game-winning goal to make it a 2-1 game in the Friday night.
Simon, let's talk about Charlie Curdy, Johnny Curran meeting up there just in the last few minutes of the game just to get us over the line. And what a vital, as you said, the record books won't say that's how it happened. It'll just be all the importance of getting that 2 goals and it coming from the blue line with that little bit of importance too.
Yeah, look, it's a great move. And even, again, I know we're only talking about the Friday night game, but we'll come back to talk about the move he made on the Saturday night for the game winner. Well, actually, to get it back to 2-2. But Charlie Curdy, he's played a ton of minutes already this year. He likes the challenge. I've spoken to him on numerous occasions about it. But when you're playing 31, 32 minutes a game, it's tough on you. Especially when last week against the Coventry Blaze, the night we got all those penalties. I think you were there, Davey, wasn't it? The Saturday night. We got ended up with about 11 minor penalties. And he ended up killing over 8.5 minutes of 5-on-4. And that is tough on you. But, you know, it was great to see him getting rewarded with a goal. Great pass out from Johnny Curran, as you say. Johnny steps off the wall, notices that Charlie's stepping in from the blue line. And that's the only mistake with the glove that Vinegar made on Friday night. You know, he just didn't get it up there quick enough. Was he screened? I'm not 100% sure. But if he is, then great, because the guys in front are doing their job. But this is the play here. You know, you can't see it if you're listening to the podcast again tomorrow morning. But that little pass out, controlled once, head up, goes top shelf, and it's a brilliant finish. There's guys hanging about the front in case there is a rebound coming out. And obviously, you know, as I say, Charlie coming in there and getting the game winner. And for one, I was really pleased that we defensively, that we played a lot better. We only conceded the one goal. Besko, as I say, played really well over the weekend. But Friday night, he made some big saves. on the couple of penalties that we got, especially towards the end of the third period. I thought he came up absolutely massive for us. So great to get the win. Great to get the, you know, defensively only concede the one goal. Again, hopefully that's the start of something that we can really start to build on now.
Well, let's wrap Friday night up with a word from the coaching staff.
Yeah, I feel for the guys. I mean, I think we played an excellent role game there. That's a 2-2 hockey game all day long. That puck's in the net. Guys in the corner blows it down. It's clear as day. It's a goal. It's frustrating. I like I said, I feel for the guys on the road against a good team. It was a great back and forth game. Like at some point, you tell the guys keep working. We're going to get those breaks. That's two or three in a row now they've gone against us. That clear as day goal. I thought we did a good job of not sinking at that point. We kept working, but it's frustrating. At some point, like the league's too good to keep going on like this, having those calls. And like I said, it's a goal all day long. Putting that behind us, we played a great road game. Guys battled all night. I think we held them to 25 shots. Two little mistakes end up in the back of our net. And obviously the message is we have to regroup and bring that same effort tomorrow. But it's tough to keep saying we're going to get the bounces, get the calls, when that it's a goal all day long. That's it.
Yeah, I thought both teams were good tonight. I think it's two teams that are struggling for a little bit of offense. At the same time, I thought everybody was pulling the rope tonight. I thought can't really single one guy out. I thought everybody was doing their part to try to help the team win. And obviously a very big goal there. I know our fourth line makes a big play and a big finish there. And I thought it was going to take something like that to get us going. And obviously, I thought it was a great effort by Bobby. And, 4 seconds left there. One, he forechecks and finishes a hit. And, Naz makes a nice play to Bomber to Coops, and then ends up back on Bobby's stick. So, that's a big goal going into the period break for us mentally. I thought very happy for the players in terms of getting rewarded for their efforts, because it all hasn't been that case in the last 6 weeks or so. I think that this one was one of the best efforts that I've seen as a group in quite some time.
So, just before we move on to Saturday night's game, we're going to bring in John Smith flirting with the 3-on-3 podcast instead of being Belfast Giants loyal, but most of the time he's Belfast Giants loyal. He can be found up in Boomerang Corner there. Smith, welcome back to the podcast.
All right, Joel, what's up? I catch you, all good, mate.
Joel Neal. Just thought it was Joel Neal when he came in there.
I'll never be nice as good as Joel Neal.
Nice big smile on your face there, mate. It was a pretty good weekend for us.
A great weekend of sport all across the board, to be honest. And getting this is like the international call-up of podcasts. So thank you very much. My first international cap.
So how have you been enjoying, first of all, the 3-on-3 podcast? You're quite well involved with those guys now.
The 3-on-3 podcast is a bit of a pipe dream. Came across from Scott Finlay and David Grant. It was just a little bit of casual boys talking in group chats. They thought, let's make it a podcast and we'll talk nonsense and hope people listen, and it's just developed into what it is. So, it's been great being on the show. The reception's been really good across the league, and, it's always good chatting with them boys.
Let's get back to Belfast then, mate. Your thoughts so far on what's been a topsy-turvy season?
Oh, it's been rough, hasn't it? Well, especially since the CHL ended. I think it's been very topsy-turvy. We got the game against Glasgow not that long ago at home, where we thought it was going to be a bit of a breakout moment and the team would kick on, but we haven't quite got that offense going again. And bit of a losing streak. Things have been a bit a bit disgruntled up in the stands, and then obviously we had this doubleheader, which could have been another potential banana skin against the Manchester Storm. They took 4 points out of our building last year, and the way they played the games this weekend, they potentially could have taken more points than they did. I thought they were very unlucky not to at least win one of the games.
And looking forward then to tomorrow night, it's a winner-takes-all 60-minute shootout.
or longer than 60 minutes, Davey. You know, the Blaze, like, the, you know, they like to win games in overtime. I think they've only won 4 games in regulation all league season so far. So they're going to stick around in the game for as long as they possibly can. And they're on I believe they're on 7 or 8 game winning streak at the minute, and in the league at least. And yeah, they're a dangerous side right now. And it's
sorry, John, you were mid flow. Go ahead.
I just don't know the game. The Giants will have to be careful, especially in the first 10 minutes. I know we like to lose goals early in games, and especially in periods. So, yeah, we'll have to be on our game. And, you know, the effort levels have definitely increased in the last few weeks. So people grinded a lot heavier. And I feel if we come out like that, the way we did in Coventry in the recent league game, and then even against Manchester over the weekend, I feel like we'll be okay.
Smitty, obviously you've touched on it there, the crowd of, you know, they've been a wee bit disgruntled this season so far. I mean, look, we've all got our views on that. I just think we've been spoiled over the last number of years, and you know, a lot of people aren't used to seeing the team lose. But with a lot of changes, obviously, last year, coming into this year, there's a few other teams who've done the same. I was talking to an ex-player on Sunday, and he was saying he couldn't believe the amount of new faces. He'd been away for a while and hadn't really watched much hockey. He couldn't believe the amount of new faces around the league and not just in Belfast. But what did you make of the situation with the fans booing a couple of weeks ago?
I feel like any paying customer is justified in how they want to voice their concerns. I know it's been quite a contentious subject, even particularly on the podcast amongst you guys as well. The game in which the boom was very, very evident, I wasn't present for. But from what I hear, the game was not a game that, you know, we were ever in, and the effort levels, you know, seemed to not be there from players that you just want a little bit of effort from. Fans have the right, in my opinion, to voice their concerns in any which way possible. If that upsets sportsmen who, you know, are paid to play the game, then they've got to take the criticisms. We, as a fan base and as a club, will praise you to high heavens whenever you obviously play for the badge on the front and not the name on the back. But you've got to understand that the criticism might come if fans feel that the effort isn't quite there. And I think it's just the application from some players, from what we've seen in the CHL. And you're right, Kitchy, I think we have been spoiled as a fan base for over many, many seasons now, running close for league titles, running closest for cups year on year. So when we do hit the skids a wee bit, you know, it is going to be panic stations for a lot of people. And, you know, maybe this is one of those seasons where we do have to temper our expectations a little bit, you know, and other teams are going to improve. You know, even the likes of Manchester at the weekend, they're a different side than what they were last year. The Blaze have improved from last year, and the Steelers have gone all out to improve their squad from last year as well. So, you know, everybody's trying to improve, and everybody's going to get results against each other. But I don't think it's all the sky's falling in quite yet.
I just see the Cardiff Devils made a signing tonight, bringing a guy in from Slovakia as well. And, you know, you just talk on teams spending big, and the Devils obviously aren't happy with what they've got in the locker at the minute, because they signed this guy, Bode Wild. Just been announced this evening.
I don't know if that's a reaction to going out of the Challenge Cup themselves last week. I thought that would probably have been something that Russell would have been chasing very much so in you know, his first season in Cardiff. It was a very winnable trophy for him, and I feel like that maybe off the back of an injury to Cody Donaghy as well, you know, that might be something that's probably a little bit more long term than they first envisaged. So we'll see, but it just goes to show that not only the Belfast Giants make changes mid-season, as everybody else would make you believe.
We're going to take it to the Manchester game now. Hopefully, Paddy will run VT for me, and we'll get a few highlights and talk about the Manchester game, the second game. Another tight affair. I'll come to Marty here because he's sitting up there saying nothing at the minute. Another tight affair, Marty. Ultimately, won on penalty shots, but you know. Two teams going at it right from the start.
I think we started more positively. It was nice to see Quinn Preston and Tedesco linking up again. We've seen what they've done in the Champions League, and certainly the magic that Quinn Preston did with a little backhand pass to find Tedesco back post. We want more of that. We're craving more of that. And it was just nice to see that happening relatively early on in the game. After that, then I think we stumbled on our chances. There's a lovely goal there. We stumbled on, you know, I thought after that we could maybe take control of the game, be more comfortable, and, you know, Belfast chance fans, we always love to see the team taking control of the whole game management. We didn't do that. Manchester Storm then come back with, well, I'll touch back on that awesome save that Vinegar did. If that had went in, maybe it could have been a different story. But after he made that save, then obviously Manchester Storm go along, get the equaliser, then take the lead, and then we're back to kind of the same old that we've been used to, you know, more or less chasing the game and chasing back that equalising goal that we needed then to obviously bring it to the overtime.
And Smith, obviously, there's a little bit of added stress on Teddy Bird toss night, but good to get that early one, and quite ironically from our very own Teddy.
Yeah, it's always good to get that monkey off the back early doors, isn't it? You don't want to be sitting there going into the third period panicking and having to throw your teddies on decision making upstairs rather than on the ice. Oddly, with Teddy toss, you know, it does suck the momentum out of the game right away. The Giants probably want to get back at the game started as quickly as they could and sort of put the foot on the throat, but that's just a necessary evil for a fantastic cause. And then, as was just said there, I feel like we ended up chasing the game a little bit. And just looking at one of the things that I've written down from the games was that, or over the weekend actually, three of the four goals were scored like combined from within like 5 feet of the blue ice, you know, the crease. And I feel like we have to go there more frequently to get goals. We're not getting the sort of swashbuckling goals that the Giants are used to seeing. So we do have to go to those dirty areas, and it paid dividends over the weekend. And yeah, it's always good to get the monkey off the back on Teddy toss night.
Simon, let's talk about the two goalies. Obviously, Vinegar with that EIHL save of the week. I think you called it within sort of 10 seconds. Well, that's the save of the week over. But our own, and we talked briefly in the first game analysis about this as well, our own number 34 coming up with a man of match performance.
I thought Smitty actually summarized the game very, very well there. It was a battle of goalies on Saturday night. I mean, both of them played really well on Friday. But Saturday itself, I thought the both of them were outstanding. That save, you're not going to see, if you see a better save in the league this year, then fair play. But that's incredible. What's the word? I don't even know the word for it, because for him to just know that it's come off his shoulder and he just needs to scramble to basically get that away. And then the agility that he had to throw his left arm around and bat it out of the way. It was really difficult to see from where, I mean, obviously we're 200 odd feet away from that end, and couldn't get a really good view on it when it first happened. But once we've seen the replay of it, especially from overhead, it's an absolutely incredible save. He came off of that. He did another one early in the third period as well. A couple of big glove saves. Besko was I thought Besko probably, I know he played, he's had two shutouts this year in the CHL. I thought that game on Saturday night was probably his best this season. I thought he was really, really good. He looked very, very calm in net. It was just looked back to Besko. I mean, he was sitting waving. Josh Roach is sitting in the box right beside us, and he's sitting waving up there, Roachie, pucks at centre ice. And, you know, he just knows that when you see him doing that and he's relaxed and he's just, you know, chilled out and basically waiting for the next shot coming along, you know, he's ready to play. But when we went ahead, again, John just touched on it there. It did zap a bit of energy out of it. We restarted the game really well. And then all of a sudden the Teddy toss is on, taking 5-6 minutes before you get the Teddy burst cleared. And then everything sort of slowed down after that for a bit. You've got to commend the Storm. They come out, they scored a goal with 2 minutes to go in the second. They scored a goal 2 minutes into the third to get the lead. And then obviously we come back and get to the front of the net. Nazarian ties it up. And it goes to a shootout. And again, the goalies were absolutely brilliant. So, we've already touched on it. The 4 points was what we went into that game that weekend for. We got the 4 points. Was it pretty? No. Did we score as many goals as you wanted to score? No, because it was really, really tight all weekend. but I genuinely think we got what we deserved.
I'm going to give Smith the last word on the game here. A bit of a, you go in that 3-on-3 lottery of an overtime, really, you know, everybody's trying to make a play. People are jumping up into the rush. There's turnovers. Besko's made an unbelievable save on a 1-on-1 breakaway, and then it goes to penalty shots. And, you know, I back our goalie against any goalie in this league when it comes to penalty shots.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I actually felt more confident going into the penalty shots than I did into 3-on-3. Just on the 1-0 breakaway. At the time, it looked like Charlie Curdy gives up on the play, but obviously he's quite exhausted from the play and the amount of minutes that he's having to put in game after game. I feel like some of us might owe Charlie Curdy a bit of an apology for, you know, the frustration that we got, you know, from him supposedly giving up on the play. His legs looked like they were just gone, to be fair. But best goal against anybody in this league, I'm backing my goalie in the shootout.
What I'll say on the Charlie Curdy one, Charlie starts a 3-on-3 overtime, plays about a 1 minute shift. Got to remember, in 3-on-3 overtime, it's very hard to get a change on the fly. You're really hoping for a whistle to get a change, or when both teams sort of agree and they hold the puck behind their net and let the teams get a change up. Charlie's played a 1 minute shift. Frienders came in, played a long shift. Travis has came on, and then Charlie's came back on. He's had a 200-foot up rush up the ice. He's circled back to centre ice. The pucks came to Mark Cooper on the left wing, who's put it across, and it's Curdy driving the net for the scoring opportunity. He then circles round and has a shot from the blue line where he walks a line. That shot gets charged down, and he's in a two-on-one situation. He makes a decision to go to block the pass rather than block the shot, or to block, sorry. Oh, lost the ear hole there. He goes to block the outlet pass rather than go with the man going down the ice. And once he's got 3 feet on you, he's gone. There is very little point at that stage at trying to make that back in. You're not making it. You put your faith in your goaltender. Thankfully, Besko comes up massive for us. We'll go into the shootout. Obviously, they'll play away here, but we'll come away. Matt McLeod scores whatever. But listen, Smith, thank you very much for your appearance on AVFTB this week. We're going to go take some post-game interviews.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, left a little bit of a sour taste in our mouth. I thought two great games of hockey. There wasn't a lot of open ice out there. I think two teams that take pride in the defensive side of the game, and they're also struggling to put the puck in the net too. But I thought tonight, I thought we started a little slow in the first. We were a little sluggish. They came out and got a bit of a jump on us, and we were a little loose defensively and gave up some chances. And when he kept us in there, made some big saves. And then second and third, I thought we got way better. I thought we were very good in both periods, probably deserved. You feel like you deserve to win the game, but they played well as well. It was two good teams going at it this weekend. Not a lot of ice, and I'm proud of the guys. We battled, we competed, did a lot of really good things. Just couldn't find a way to get that puck over the line. We were really a tough camera angle away and a couple inches away from having a 4-point weekend. The 1 point is, it will go a long way, better than zero, but it's tough because we feel like we deserve more.
Yeah, it was a battle the whole weekend, and we knew it was because last time we played Manchester, they played us very hard after we beat them the first game. And to credit to them, they never quit, which was good. And it was good for us to have that kind of battle and come through on the other side of it, which is good. But yeah, we did dip a little bit after the first. It was a good start. We wanted that goal that didn't go in, which didn't go in, but that was kind of a little mood changer, I think. That would have helped us carry on, but it was a good finish. You know, RD played well there towards the end. We shut him down, and Besko was awesome. I mean, it was great what he did in the shootout, but just throughout the whole game, he kept us, giving us a chance, and it was a great, nice last goal from Naz there to pick the bench up and just so we could finish the game off.
Now it's time for the fan agenda, brought to you in association with our friends at Belfast Giants TV. We're really delighted to be joined tonight by one of the newest guys added to the roster in the last little while. It's Bobby McIntyre. Bobby, welcome along to A View from the Bridge.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Bobby, turn your phone 90 degrees.
Sideways?
Yep.
Hey, there we go. We've got Bobby on widescreen now. Bobby, listen, it's been a pretty whirlwind month for you. Come. Oh, so we're all going to this. It's been a pretty whirlwind month for you, mate, coming into the club, obviously, the weekend, getting a man of the match, getting a goal, leading the team in shots over the weekend. Pretty good weekend for yourself.
Yeah, no, it was good. Nice to get the 4 points there and gear up for tomorrow here.
And tomorrow, let's go on to it. Seeing you mention it, it's a winner takes all 65-minute shootout here.
Sorry, you cut out there.
I'm saying on the tomorrow, we'll go straight on to tomorrow night, seeing you bring the subject up. It's a 65-minute shootout with a winner takes all.
Right, yeah, the aggregate's kind of new for me. I didn't know that was a thing. A pretty cool thing they do here. So, yeah, obviously exciting, makes for an exciting game.
Bobby, talk us through your goal on Saturday night. Obviously, it's always great to get your first goal for a new team. It was a lovely move from Battle in the corner, and obviously Naz got the puck to the point, and you must have been pleased with Mark Cooper passing it across the front of the slot instead of taking a shot.
Yeah, no, it was obviously a great play by Naz to Bomber over to Coop, and happy to tap those ones in. Yeah, obviously anytime you can score the ones close to net like that's pretty exciting.
How have you settled in both and on the ice and obviously in Belfast? How are you getting along?
No, it's been great. I think we talked there a couple of weeks ago when I first got here. It's an easy transition. A lot of good people kind of helped me along the way, and yeah, obviously it's been pretty smooth so far.
Bobby, I really enjoy your game. I like the way you're that kind of gritty guy, go in hard. You're a little bit of a terrier, you know. You're not the biggest guy on the ice, but certainly put that body in there, and obviously pretty hard in the forecheck. When Adam was signing you, was he more or less telling you that we need this spark, we need this type of guy in the team, and you knew exactly what your job was entailing when you joined us?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously I'm sure he talked to guys and previous coaches and players and watched some videos, so I'm sure he kind of knew what my game was like, and yeah, just try to stick with that, do what I'm good at, play to my strengths, and like you said, that's definitely one of my strengths. So just try to play that way all the time.
Yeah, no, I feel we were missing a player like yourself, you know, at the start of the season, and it's great to see, you know, obviously the heart and effort that you put in. So yeah, keep it up.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Bobby, there's a couple of questions in here from the people that are watching in here, and I'll kind of paraphrase a couple of them. Who are you gelling with in the team? Who's the joker in the team for you?
Oh, we got a couple. I think Davey is obviously an easy pick. I'm sure that'd be the answer for most guys. There's a couple undercover ones too, but yeah, on the top of my head, Davey for sure.
Let's talk about December. December being probably the busiest month of the season anyway, you know, half of 15 games or something in a very short period of time. You don't get to enjoy Christmas as such because you've got games sort of the day before Christmas, the day after Christmas. It's a busy travel time. Christmas is about getting a bit of rest this year.
Yeah. I think, yeah, obviously something different compared to the other European leagues I played in, but yeah, I know it's exciting. Obviously playing games is fun, and obviously good crowds around Christmas. Same way they've been all year since I've been here. So yeah, it's definitely an exciting time, and I'm sure lots of friends and family will be in the crowd for most guys. So I know we're pretty excited.
Bobby, you've just touched on about the aggregate score. Coventry Blaze tomorrow night. It's 1-1 given to tomorrow. It's a winner take all. What sort of game are you expecting?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be probably pretty similar to the game we played there last Wednesday. Tight checking. Hopefully not as many penalties as the regular season game there the few days before. But yeah, no, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, Bobby, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I know that big game tomorrow, so we don't want to keep you any later tonight than we have to. So listen, appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow and for the rest of obviously December coming up, and look forward to catching up with you at the rink soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Cheers. So thanks again to Bobby McIntyre. Thanks to Simon for arranging that. And I guess thanks to the coaches for letting these guys come on the night before a game. It's It's never not appreciated. But let's move on.
In fairness, Adam doesn't know he was on, so don't worry about it.
Well, then let's see what he's got to say about that. Let's welcome back to A View from the Bridge, Belfast Giants head coach Adam Keefe. Hey, coach.
How you doing, guys? I know now.
You know now, so hopefully it's not a fine for Bobby. The scissors going to pay it. He phoned him up and asked him.
Absolutely not.
Well, he didn't phone you.
I know now.
That gets me. I guess I love that. Coach, how's things with you?
Yeah, good. Just getting ready for the Christmas period. Obviously, you know, Christmas being Christmas, and it's going to be busy with families and everybody doing their Christmas thing. But obviously, we've got a lot of hockey on over the Christmas period, which is always the case. So it's just getting ready for that big push, and no bigger start to it than tomorrow night for sure.
Listen, I know that the hockey is a hockey podcast, obviously, and it's very, very important. But this is going to be a lovely Christmas for you away from the rink as well, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it will be. Obviously, my youngest daughter's first Christmas, so that's going to be quite cool to see. And then, obviously, my older daughter, of course, she's old enough to really understand it. And, you know, the old elf on the shelf has been a lot of fun here recently.
Well, I'm glad that. So I'm glad that you're having a nice time away from the rink as well, because it's important to be able to take some time away with family as well. But let's talk first of all about tomorrow night. We have obviously had with Coventry player on earlier. We've had Bobby on talking about it. We've talked about it ourselves. It's winner takes all tomorrow night. It's as good as a cup final tomorrow night.
Yeah, we talked about that today, and how often in December do you get to play in a do or die game? You don't in North America. That's just a fact, or even the rest of the world, I suppose, outside of maybe Champions League and Continental Cup. You know, it's everybody else is gearing up for a regular season and, you know, gearing up for the playoffs. Whereas we get to play in a do or die game tomorrow, and that's exciting. That's what we play for. You know, it's a stressful environment. It's a pressure filled environment, but that's, to me, that's a privilege to get to play in those games and to get to be a part of those games. So tomorrow's another one of them, and we should get excited for that.
Adam, obviously, you know, we've got a lot of hockey to play this month. We played two games on the weekend. We've got a game tomorrow, two games this weekend, and you've got four games over the space of 6 days. You had to make a decision last week with regards to leaving a player out for the first time this season with, you know, whatever it is. I've lost count of many imports you actually have. I know you've got guys coming back and getting healthy again. But as a coach, it puts you in a really strong position because, again, you're leaving somebody who you know is going to be disappointed and hoping to get back in the lineup for the next game.
Yeah, it's never an easy thing to leave somebody out of the lineup. You know, in particular, the last case was the first time we've done that this season, which is quite crazy considering we are in the middle of December. But, you know, it's a good problem to have. In particular, Saturday night was a very difficult one because I thought the whole team played well on Friday, and it was a real tough choice to make. And, you know, unfortunately, that's part of the business. We've got to make that choice. And, you know, but like I said, it is a good problem to have, and it should create a healthy competition amongst the players to not just get in the lineup, but to stay in the lineup and to earn just different opportunities throughout there. So, a little bit of friendly internal competition to make us all better.
You've played three games against the Blaze so far this season. You've won one, you've lost one, and you've tied one. I think it's fair to say it's very, very evenly matched. What sort of game are you expecting tomorrow night?
More of the same. I'm expecting a playoff game. I don't think, hopefully, you know, we take care of our details defensively, and we make it very difficult for them to get to our net, but I expect them to do the same. So, you know, hopefully we have good discipline, stay out of the penalty box, and, you know, let the players decide this one. I think that, you know, we expect a playoff style game, and, you know, we have to be prepared for that. We have to be ready. We have to be on our toes and you know, just worry about our game. You know, I think that's been the message the whole year, but certainly tomorrow, you know, that is the message that we have to play our game. We got to play well and do what we do well.
Yeah, Adam. Yeah, we had George on a couple of weeks ago, and obviously we were in a pretty bad place. And George just touched on a lot of things, going back to basics and more or less building that confidence up through training, and then it's obviously fed into games. Do you feel that that has happened from 3-4 weeks ago, and you're happy that the progression is going at the pace that it currently is?
Obviously, I'd love to be back to where we were in the Champions League in terms of that. But I mean, those times are gone because, you know, I think everybody was pretty excited and almost scared to play in the Champions League, in a sense that you're the underdogs going in, so you have a different mentality. I think we've lost a little bit of that, and we're trying to get that back right now. You know, we're trying to get that enthusiasm, that real engagement, that you're ready for everything every night. And it's been a challenge, but I think, you know, certainly what I saw this weekend, in particularly Friday, I thought Friday for 60 minutes, the guys were good. I didn't think we created as much as we would like to offensively. I thought that part of our game is still coming back. And then Saturday, I loved our start again. I thought for the first time, we had real pace to our game, and with the four lines just rolling, and you know, it was looking good. And then somewhere in the second period, we probably lost our way a little bit. And, you know, this is the challenges that we face right now, and we're doing our best to dig our way out of it. And you know, I guess what George was touching on is we are trying to get back to basics. You know, we had a training camp week where we went over our foundation and what we do well and what's going to make us successful in times that, you know, the puck's not flying into the net for us, right? And that's being strong defensively and taking care of our details and our structure. And, you know, I think that just stop overthinking things. You know, I think we were overthinking a lot on an individual basis and on a team basis. And I think that we had to bring it back to the basics and really just start to worry about doing the things away from the puck, because really you don't have the puck a whole lot on your stick in a game. You know, so it's taking care of the other things to give yourself confidence in that game that you're playing well. And then when the puck does get on your stick, you know, that's when good things happen, because you're playing with confidence.
Folks, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about, well, no, it's one question actually. Obviously made a couple of changes, brought in Bobby McIntyre and the returning Henrik Eriksson. That little dynamic of them coming in just with the freshness, with a little bit of enthusiasm. You only have to look at Henrik Eriksson's interviews when he's coming in, how excited he is to be back. Was that an easy phone call to make?
Yeah, very one. I think the world of Hank. Obviously, he came in last year. He was sick there. He battled back. He had some big games for us in key times. And, I left him out of the lineup there in the playoffs, and that was it's another very difficult decision, and one that, you know, I lost sleep over. And, you know, just, you know, he's a guy that when it was this summer and trying to keep track of him where he was at, and I thought, like, with a full year here in Belfast, I think things could be different for Hank. And when I've seen that he was available at a time when we were in need, it was a pretty easy phone call to make for sure.
Was he someone that was on your list of potentials coming back this season, just didn't work out?
Yeah, he was. Obviously, you know, a lot of things shake down, and when you're rebuilding a roster, is who's coming back, who's returning. Sometimes you have to wait until, you know, June, July before that actually happens, and sometimes other things happen in the meantime. So I think it kind of just fell apart there with Hank. But and I know that Hank wants to, you know, get home, and obviously a good situation. I know that he wanted to play for his hometown team, and which is pretty reasonable. He was available at a time when we were in need, and you know, that's for me that, you know, he's coming in and done a great job. I thought he was a big part of getting us that game tying goal with the big forechecker on Saturday, and obviously had a big impact in Coventry as well. So I thought he's done great, and you know, he's a real pro. He really cares and he takes care of himself, and I'm sure he'll be ready to go tomorrow.
I don't want to put words in your mouth with this question, so I'm not giving you the answer, but you talked about having your week of training camp and going through the processes and what you wanted to do. And you probably have had, I don't know, blackboard, whiteboard, whatever, with potential lines written. And for the last 3.5 months, seldom have you been able to put out the people you want to put out on those given nights. Now, we always say no excuse organization. I've never known a time when we've had as many bodies, illness and injuries to compete with.
Yeah, it's not been easy, that's for sure. And to be honest, we're still going through it. So, but it is nice to get back to full strength. And but like you said there, I mean, for me, excuses are sometimes factual, and it doesn't mean that you're excused. Like, we absolutely had injuries, but if we allow that to be an excuse or something to get out of what we're, to put our mind at ease that, we're losing because we're down bodies. I mean, it's just not fair to yourself to say that. And I think that you got to do what you can with what you have. And, you look across the league and you look in the history here, like, you can win games with down bodies. I mean, but you have to play perfect, And so to me, that was the frustrating bit, that not that we lost games in the period that we were in down injuries. Just, some of the performances I didn't think were good enough to win bodies, and then that was the frustrating bit. But we fought through that a little bit here, and I thought that the performances on the weekend were good enough to find the 4 points, and that's a great starting period for us. And like I said, I love both games starts, and I thought we had a real pace to our game, and that's a real positive to take out of last weekend, was that we played with some real pace and energy to start the game off. And that was something that I seen early on in the season when we were rolling.
Adam, I know you really came on as a last minute substitute this evening, and we really do appreciate your time. Last question: there's not much room in practice on the ice at the minute because you've got like 45 guys practicing. But how's the practice been over the last couple of days, getting ready for tomorrow night?
Yeah, good. We came back in on Monday morning and had a little bit of a 3-on-3 tournament just to kind of feel the puck and have a little bit of fun. Those ones always end up, some guys have fun and some guys are pretty angry. But, it was a little bit of competition, just touch the puck, feel the ice again and keep moving. And then today we had another short practice, obviously weary of the energy levels for the amount of games that are coming, when we have four lines and eight defensemen on the ice, it actually makes practice a lot better, where you can you can go two colors and everything flows a little easier. Everybody's getting proper rest so they can actually execute and they're not tired. So I like the amount of players that we have on the ice currently. I think that's if you look at the American League, the NHL, that's what you're going to get on the ice. Top league European leagues, that's what you're going to have on the ice. So it actually allows for a higher tempo practice. So it's been good, and it's good to see guys touching the ice. And good to see Oliver Cooper back on the ice. He's close. Josh Roach back competing hard in practice. Garside's back on the ice. Guys are getting close back. And Gendron back skating again. So it's nice to see everybody out there competing and getting ready to, return to form. So it's nice.
Marty's giving a thumbs up there. So Coach, busy night for you. And also we'll let you get on with the rest of your evening. And really appreciate your time. Good luck tomorrow night and with the Christmas period coming up. And lots of love to the family.
Yep. Cheers, guys. You as well. Take care. Merry Christmas.
See you in the morning.
There we are. Thanks again to head coach Adam Keith. Always great to have the head coach on and hear his thoughts on the game. Listen, we need to keep moving on because I'm going for a record finish here with no Paddy to we're going to move on to, let's see what he's got on the sheet here. Dobbs. I don't know if either of you've seen the couple of Dobbs incidents. First one, I don't know whether Paddy's going to play these or not. Chris Mackay from the Dundee Stars against the Cardiff Devils. He's had two games, for cross-checking. Simon, what are your thoughts?
To be honest, I think it's a two-game suspension all day long. When you listen to what I think it's Luke describes the start of the when he starts talking here and the incident itself, and he says he doesn't look as if he's going to, you know, intentionally injure. I think that's a spoof. When you watch this cross-check on the back of the head on Josh Waller, you can't do that. You just can't do that. And here it comes now. That's just banger the order. I mean, obviously, the right behind the referee, so he's not going to be able to see that. I don't know what the call was on the night. But I think two-game suspension is well warranted for that, to be honest.
Marty?
Yeah, I agree. Two games. I think this has kind of rolled over from the previous weekend. When they were up in Dundee, there was a bit of needle happening in the game. I know Mark Lefay was kicked out of the game. But I had a brief look at this game. I could see that McKay and Allen were constantly kind of mixing it up, roughing it up, and you knew something kind of naughty was going to happen. And McKay's obviously just done it right in front of our eyes there. It's quite evident that's at least a two-game ban.
Let's move on then to the Kyle Locke, the Guelph Flames, against the Nottingham Panthers. He has got a one-game suspension for an illegal check to the head. We'll let the video roll here, and then we'll come to Marty to see what you think of this. Marty, obviously, two games for Mackay for a cross-check to the helmet, and Kyle Locke with one game for an illegal check to the head. Well, the video's...
If they're going to give out a two-game ban for a cross-check to the head, and this is another hit to the head, then it has to be a two-game. They can't call that one game when they've already called two-game for a headshot in another game. So, for me, it has to be another two-game.
Says?
Yeah, I mean, Ollie Betteridge is leaning forward there, and he tucks his arm in. It's not an elbow. It's an unfortunate one for me. I think one game is actually fair, to be honest. Again, Locke, you can just see him tighten his right arm in there now. He's got to play. If he doesn't play the body, his coach is giving him a bollocking when he gets to the bench. He's got to step up, which he does. Stick down, arm tucked in. You know, he's basically getting ready to hit him. I think one game's fair on that.
Go ahead, Marty.
Sorry, John. You can't see him backing out of it, but I just think Dobbs needs to. They're always quite flippant, and the reason I'm saying two games is just because of consistency. I feel there needs to be more consistency from Dobbs, but yeah, for a point.
And then at the very end, I don't know whether Paddy got the video or not, at the very end of the Cardiff v Dundee game, everybody got their handbags out and they had to get their purses out as well because they all got fined for it. Josh Batch, Trevor Cox, Sean Allen and Josh Britton all fined for roughing, slashing and roughing. It's just, to be honest, I think from my perspective, this happens in hockey. I don't think there's any need for everybody to be fined there, but they all got a bit unseemly at the end, Simon.
Handbags, mate. I mean, I've done quite a few of them over the years. Never got a fine. It was great. I don't think there's anything in that, to be honest. I think the worst part of it was, was it Trevor Cox basically sticking a stick in, or there was a slash and two-handed slash? But no, there's nothing to it.
Marty, have you seen the incident?
You know what? Sometimes it's missing from the game, isn't it? It gets the crowd going. It obviously says it's done that a lot in the time when I was watching the Flames. I used to love it when Sizz was roughing it up like that and got the crowd
what
going.
Mean,
you know what? I wouldn't say it's refreshing to see that, but obviously it's got the buzz going. It's got the crowd going. I think it's a bit harsh finding players over that. I just think, yeah, a bit of handbag.
Do you know what it'll probably do? It'll probably sell more tickets for the next game. Some of us come from a time when that was all great, but you know, if just come out and say we're eliminating this from the game, this isn't acceptable. Yeah. We don't want this in the game anymore, and we all know where we're going. But anyway, look, we'll move on to league news, playoff, play goal. Oh, so, this is brackets. Sorry, I shouldn't have said this, but play goals of the week video, Paddy. In the Challenge Cup, Guildford and Cardiff. Guildford, hang on, Spent the bricks out here, says, and we'll build a new house. In Challenge Cup, Guildford and Glasgow have progressed to the semi-finals, eliminating last season's finalists, the Fife Flyers, and also the Cardiff Devils have fallen out of this year's competition. Ahead of their visit on to Belfast on Wednesday night, the Blaze are now unbeaten in 8 games with 2 overtime victories against the Glasgow Clan, the massive Glasgow Clan. Cardiff bounced back from being knocked out of the cup with a narrow, if not bad-tempered, 5-4 win over the Dundee Stars at home before the travelling Fife and soundly beating them 4-1. Steelers remain on the crest of that wave, defeating Fife 7-4 and shutting out the Stars 5-0 on the banks of the Firth of Tay. Thanks for that one, Paddy. Steelers remain... Oh, yes, that's, I've read that already. And it was a home-and-home series for Nottingham and Guildford this weekend, with both taking points in their own barn. We'll let these goals run through and then we'll show the league table. But your thoughts on a few of those nice, pretty goals there, Simon?
That was a nice goal there by Joe Hazeldine. You know, young British kid coming back into the game again from Hungary. Really nice finish. He's getting minutes playing on the back end for Nottingham Panthers. And I think he's a player you've got to watch. I mean, you touch on some of the goals here. I mean, the guy, Heinem, Tyler Heinem, has finished past Beskarwani when he basically picked up that rebound the other night to go top shelf. That should have been that top six. That was an unbelievable finish. But, you know, that's... Well, it is what it is. Like, we're not in them, so don't really watch it.
Marty, it's positive about time there. Bryce Reddick's goal, but didn't really see there against the massive Glasgow Clan. And number one this week in the charts. No idea what it is. Be a surprise in a wee minute, first of all.
Yes, my first time watching the top six, so looking forward to this.
Matt Barry from the massive Glasgow Clan against the Coventry Blaze.
Yeah, Furness, that's a nice goal.
That is nice.
It's a nice goal, but the defenseman
should be after him.
His jock strap up there.
Yeah,
they did. He undressed him, didn't he? But fair play, nice move. Just touching on, for a neutral, the league table, it's awesome, isn't it? I haven't seen it this close in but do you know what? As I said, for neutral, yeah. look how good, yeah. Look how close it is, you know. We seen a couple of weeks ago, Coventry, bottom of the league, now in third. Unbelievable. Anyone could have a run here. Fife could have a run over Christmas. Anyone could have a run. They could be up there in the top three at least.
Well, hopefully they don't have a run because we've got to play them twice over the next 4 days.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. So there are 7 games to be played in the next 2 weeks. For all information, go to the Belfast Giants website, belfastgiants.com. And the next 3 games, Belfast v Coventry tomorrow night. Tonight, if you're listening tomorrow. Yesterday, if you're listening on Thursday. Challenge Cup quarterfinal, leg 2. It's 1 each at the minute. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, SSE Arena. If you can't get there, get yourself down to Giants Live TV. Live.belfastgiants.com. Simon Kitchen will be probably talking about that game. Then Friday night, 7 p.m, Belfast v Fife. Again, at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down. Tickets still available, Simon?
Tomorrow night, yes, there's tickets available. Friday night, it's getting close to sell out. The seats are going in on the East End for the weekend. So there is a few tickets to be done, but yeah, it's going to be tight. Next, the 28th is very, very close to sell out. The 30th is very, very close to sell out as well. And as I say, the East End's in it, so it's going to be a full bowl.
And then on Saturday, 7:15 in the Fife Ice Arena over in Kirkcaldy, Flyers TV, if you can't get there, with Laura. Obviously, Laura from Fife TV, we pass on our regards. Bit of sad news for her, but, you know, our thoughts are with you, Laura. And, guys, 1 hour, 7 minutes, almost record. Any other business?
Yeah, I just want to pass on from Laura Small and the organization for everybody that contributed to the teddy toss at the weekend and the cash for kids. A ridiculous amount of teddies, a ridiculous amount of gifts handed over for cash for kids. We can't say thank you enough. It's very, very, very much appreciated. We took the cash for kids stuff yesterday to their big store, and then Laura with a few of the boys were at the Royal Victoria Hospital in the children's ward today. I believe some of them are going to the Ulster tomorrow. Obviously, before the ones who guys aren't playing tomorrow night are going to the Ulster Hospital Children's Ward tomorrow. And then there's Blossom Ward, which is in Craigavon area, I think. And then the Causeway Hotel, sorry, Causeway Hospital as well. So massive, massive thank you to everybody there. Second one is Friendship Series. Davey, there's over 4,000 tickets that are gone for the Friday game, and there's over 5,000 tickets that are gone for the Saturday game. So if you can get your hands on one, it's Providence versus Princeton on Friday the 5th of January at 12 p.m. face-off, and the 6th of January at 2 p.m. face-off. And then we obviously play that evening. I can't remember who it is. Is it Coventry we play that night, actually? Might well be, which is the 6th of January. Actually, I'm not sure if it's Coventry or not, but yeah, so if you want to go to the Friendship Four, get yourself a ticket. You can get them into Ice Locker in the arena, the Odyssey Pavilion, sorry, and you can pick up a free ticket for that. And massive thanks to all the partners who've basically put the support behind the Friendship Series for the women's hockey coming to Belfast in January.
Absolutely brilliant. Marty, anything from yourself, sir?
No, I'm all good. I'm just looking forward to a lot of hockey coming up.
Yeah, I've just got a couple of things with Paddy's there. Couple of sad ones to finish with. Been a couple of passings away in the Giants fraternity. Obviously, a friend to everyone down at the arena there, Sharon Montgomery, her father passed away. Let's see, there's a picture coming up here. Just read a bit of the obit from the funeral directors. Fred Montgomery passed away 17th of December 2023, peacefully at home, surrounded by his family. Dearly loved, husband of Beth, much loved, and loving dad of Valerie, Pamela, and Cheryl. Beloved adopted dad of Sharon, dear father-in-law of Robert, Danny, cherished grandpa of Georgie and Charlotte, and all welcome were called to family home between 2 and 8. Listen, service of Thanksgiving on Thursday. We hope that service of Thanksgiving goes well. Our thoughts are with Cheryl. She's been around the Giants since day dot. You'll see her at every home game. So condolences there from all of us. And another one, Wendy of Wendy and Barry fame. This is going away back now. Not a lot of people would still know. Wendy doesn't attend games anymore, but Wendy and Barry used to attend all the away games up and down England back in the years. And unfortunately, at the age of 91, Gloria Wright, Wendy's mum, passed away just the other day. So we would also extend our deepest sympathies to Wendy and the rest of our family circle on the passing of our mother. And just two other, my brother's not well, Bill had a massive stroke. He's been moved from the Royal to the Ulster, and I think things are going to be better. And my other brother, Kevin, had a massive heart attack. So bad news for both of them, but they're hopefully in the best place to get the best treatment they can. So best wishes to my brothers. And that's everything from me, guys. And all that remains, 1:11, almost a record. Paddy, get well soon. Sorry that we missed out on Stephen Murphy, who's supposed to be on the show, but we'll very quick, we'll have that another time. Stephen Murphy, inducted into the British Ice Hockey Hall of Fame, a legend between the Pipes of Belfast Giants, but we will save that for when Murph's well enough to come on the show, and we'll talk about it then. All that remains for me to say is to you two guys, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and to everybody else watching. Do you want to say anything before you go? Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy
Simon's
New Year.
Advertising there. What are you advertising, Simon?
Oh, Blue Nutrition. Oh, get all your Blue Nutrition supplements off. Northern Ireland supplements. Fantastic. Harp, get that away. We're not allowed to do Harp anymore. Your class is older than you. Your mum and dad never throw anything out, son. That's ridiculous.
That's my sookie glass for when I come back to Belfast, mate. No, I'm in the glorious East tonight, of course.
Everybody watches the podcast every week. Everybody listens in. We do it for the crack. We enjoy it. Yes, we talk a lot of nonsense sometimes. Paddy keeps it all together, and I hope Paddy gets well soon. Yeah. But listen, Merry Christmas to everybody, Belfast Giants fans, even the other ones that watch from across the water and all those other teams. And a very, very happy New Year.
Yeah, Paddy, get well soon, buddy. We missed you tonight. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody. I'll see you around the rink in the next few nights.
So there you go. Happy New Year, Happy Christmas, and wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.